When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode of the PTA Elevation Podcast has been sponsored by the 600 Plus System. If you are somebody who struggles with finding out where to start with studying, difficulty with making sure you're studying the right material, or even difficulty with just making sure you're staying on track with your studying, the 600 Plus System is a resource library full of 300 plus videos plus an accountability community that will help you make your next attempt on the MPTE your last attempt. If you're interested in learning more information about our 600 Plus System, please visit our website at ptaelevation.com/resources or check out the link in the show notes down below. Now on to the show.
All right, everybody. We're going over pulmonary embolisms today. This is a super important one because remember the boards of the safety test. Missing signs and symptoms of this is how you let somebody die. So let's get into it. This is an important one. Definitely pay attention. So what is a pulmonary embolism? I'm just going to abbreviate it PE for the rest of this, just to make it easy, but it's a blockage in the pulmonary arteries or arterioles, depending on how big the size is of the clot, kind of indicates how much area is going to be affected by ischemia. So remember, that's a blockage of blood flow. So look at this big old clot for this picture video. Right here, that's a big clot coming from the inferior vena cava because it's coming from the leg. So a lot of times pulmonary embolisms end up coming from a DVT in the lower leg, so a deep vein thrombosis. So that's why we really got to be careful and watch for signs and symptoms of that, because it's not the clot in the leg that's going to cause problems. It's when that clot begins to go on an adventure to another part of the body, 9 times out of 10 the lungs, because it comes up through, let's think of the pathway of blood through the heart. It'll go into the right atrium. All good, no problems hanging out there. Into the right ventricle, no problems hanging out there. But then if it gets shot up into the pulmonary artery, then we're going straight to the lungs and it's blocking blood flow. So it's gonna impede a patient's ability to breathe and, you know, have oxygen exchange, gas exchange bad. So it's definitely gonna be affecting the lungs because pulmonary, duh. And yeah, depending on the size of the clot, let's say this clot was a lot smaller, it'd be stuck farther down. So the bigger the clot, the bigger the problem, which makes sense. So yeah, that's our problem. And the problem is that these veins down here are just so large that they're really not going to get stuck until they get into a small area, such as the arteries up into the pulmonary arteries. So etiology of this, as I was talking about before, most of the time it's going to come from a DVT in the lower leg. And so this is a complication that can happen post-surgically. That's why we got to be really careful with like knee replacements, any sort of meniscal repair surgeries, all of that stuff. All of this increases your risk for a clot due to the fact we have caused some trauma to the leg and so, or any part of the body. So our higher risk factors, this is super important. These are the people that if they have any history of these things that I'm mentioning, they are automatically at risk of a pulmonary embolism. We got to be really, really careful with these patients and make sure that we're not letting this be a complication of their care. So the biggest one for highest risk factors is anybody who's had a recent surgery. It doesn't matter what kind of surgery it was. Any sort of surgery puts the individual at risk for developing a blood clot. So not good at all. Any sort of immobilization. So this could be immobilization following surgery. They can't move yet. Maybe they've been stuck in a car for a long time. Airplanes are a big one. Anybody who's been not moving for a while, that's why I got my standing desk so I can stand up and down here. And so that's another thing that can be a big problem. Anybody who's been in a coma such as that, that's also something that increases your risk factor. Paralysis, so anybody who's had a stroke, they can't really move that leg, use those muscle pumps to keep the blood moving, can cause a DVT to form. Spinal cord injury patients, big one. This is why frequent mobility, bed mobility, stretching, movement is key for anybody who's been immobilized. Anybody with a clotting disorder. So you just got to be careful if they have any sort of problems with clotting disorders that we're keeping aware that these could end up developing blood clots and stuff like that. So just understand that also that's going to increase your risk factor. Smoking increases your risk factor developing blood clots, which therefore increases your risk of the clot breaking off to become a pulmonary embolism. Not good at all. There's nothing good about smoking. Generally, smoking is going to cause like all of the problems under the sun. This is a big one. Pregnancy is a big one because of your huge hormonal changes in the body, which includes an increase in estrogen, progesterone production, all that stuff. Increased amounts of those hormones are going to put people at risk for developing clots. Birth control is another one. So exogenous, you know, estrogen, progesterone, all that stuff. Estrogen, like more so than progesterone, that's going to be the one that's going to increase your risk of developing clots. So anybody who's on birth control or hormone replacement therapy, so this could be for individuals who have had their ovaries removed or something along those nature and developing male secondary sex characteristics, and they would like to maintain their female sex secondary sex characteristics, so therefore they're put on estrogen, or maybe even to, you know, manage symptoms of PCOS and all of that stuff. All those things would fall under hormone replacement. And then also our transgender individuals who are taking estrogen to maintain their female sex characteristics and whatnot. Those are all people who are at risk of developing a pulmonary embolism because they're at risk of clotting. So be careful with that. Understand that you could have a perfectly healthy, like, you know, 25-year-old female walking around doing great, and then all of a sudden they have a pulmonary embolism. And it's like, well, they were healthy. They didn't have heart disease. They weren't smoking. Like, what's going on? They were on birth control. So keep that in the back of your mind. And again, heart disease generally causes lots of issues. Pulmonary embolisms and risks of DVTs end up being one of those. So what does it look like? Again, I have the video up for the people in the prep course on DVTs and stuff of that nature. Please watch that because I also have pictures of individuals of different skin tones and how DVTs present, because it's very different on like a white person versus a darker colored individual. So that's what's going on when the skin is different colors, different shades of brown. It shows up differently. Make sure you understand what it looks like. But generally, all of our DVT signs are going to be, you know, our redness, swelling, unilateral presentation of this, especially if it's like a knee surgery. Again, we'll have pain upon palpation. And so that is the big one, that if you're like, I can't really tell if it's like red or swelling, or like the redness is weird, but it's already swollen from surgery. Let me just palpate and make sure it feels okay. This is super important, especially with people with darker skin tones, because sometimes we can't see that it's red. So make sure we're aware of what the DVTs look like, because that is the main reason why we'd have a pulmonary embolism. Now, the pulmonary embolism itself, how does that present? Well, the person becomes diaphoretic. They start sweating. They have this sudden onset of dyspnea, difficulty breathing. They could have been working out beforehand, or maybe they're just chilling there and all of a sudden they're sweating. They can't breathe and they start coughing and wheezing and they don't sound good at all. You'll notice they'll also have this thing called hemoptysis, which is coughing up blood. That is just the fancy way of saying coughing up blood. So the ptysis is coughing and the hemo would be blood. So they're coughing up blood. Not good at all. Anybody with blood coming out of them, not good. This is a medical emergency. Cyanosis, again, they'll start looking blue, pale. The fingers start looking blue. It just doesn't look good. They could also lose consciousness and faint. That is why it's important to get emergency people coming right away, because you got only a limited amount of time before this person passes out. And then their pulse is going to be weak and rapid, or rapid. So basically, they really don't look good and they're coughing up blood. This is when you say, oh crap, call 911, suspected pulmonary embolism, you act now. And then you'll go into your first aid stuff once you can. So again, how are we treating it? We're not treating this. We're getting this person to the emergency room immediately. Medical services will administer heparin to help thin the blood. They'll also put in some thrombolytics and whatnot to break up the clot if that's necessary. Most of the time, they're just putting heparin in, thin the blood, and then they're getting the clot out. They'll usually only use thrombolytics if it's like just a clot's just chilling there. So maybe they'll use a thrombolytic after the patient's stabilized to break up the remainder of the clot that's in the patient. Again, if they have any sort of clot, once they're stabilized, because the main thing is we're stable, the patient needs to be stabilized. Once we're good on that, then they'll be on their thrombolytics. They can't exercise for a day. And then we go back into our treatment. So this person is probably going to be pretty deconditioned going through all of that. We'll do the cardiac rehab protocol, make sure we check vitals before we work them out, just slowly increasing cardiovascular endurance, getting them back to strength, mobility, transfers, all of that stuff, getting them back to their baseline. then we can go back to the therapy that we originally had. The most important thing when it comes to pulmonary embolisms is preventing them from even happening in the first place. So our role as therapists is to keep an eye out for signs of a DVT in the lower leg, making sure, you know, we're aware of all those risk factors for individuals who could be at risk for developing PEs. We want to make sure that, you know, that's on the back of our mind, that we're making sure nothing bad happens. If it's not looking good, let's say we're looking at the leg and we're like, this could definitely be a DVT, we're sending them to the ER to get it checked out. They'll do a Doppler ultrasound to look at blood flow. Better safe than sorry when it comes to treating this patient, and especially anybody who's got any of those risk factors. Again, if we're seeing multiple risk factors with this patient, let's say that they're on birth control, they were a smoker, and they just had knee surgery, that's like three things that we're like, okay, this person's definitely at risk. So making sure it's the PT's job to get a thorough medical history of everything that happened and, you know, systems review and stuff like that. Our job is to see that on the chart and be like, okay, let's make sure this doesn't happen to this patient. All right, keywords, hemoptysis, so the coughing up blood. That is probably like the hallmark key sign that, okay, we're having a pulmonary embolism. If they're diaphoretic alongside of that, so the excessive sweating, the pallor, just they just don't look good. They're sweating and they're coughing up blood. Generally, that's two things that aren't good. The sudden onset of dyspnea, again, the difficulty breathing, not good at all. And then here are some of the risk factors that we would see that it's like, okay, what condition would this person be at risk for developing? Well, it could be a pulmonary embolism if they had a recent surgery or immobilization, have any history of a DVT, even if they had one before and it was broken up and everything. Just if it happened once, it can happen again. They're already at risk for that. And then any use of estrogen, either hormone replacement therapy or birth control, this is all things that are going to increase your risk of developing a clot, which then could be a pulmonary embolism. So let's get into our sample question here, guys. A physical therapist assistant is treating a patient in an outpatient physical therapy clinic for pain in their right shoulder. Which of the following patients would have the lowest risk for developing a pulmonary embolism? One, a 24-year-old transgender patient on estrogen hormone replacement therapy. Two, a 65-year-old male patient following a rotator cuff repair surgery. Three, a 16-year-old patient who recently was on an airplane for 12 hours straight. Or four, a 40-year-old patient with a superior labrum anterior to posterior tear. So I'll give you guys a second. All right, guys, so the answer is a 40-year-old female patient with a superior labrum anterior to posterior tear. So this question is asking who's at the lowest risk. So we got to make sure we're seeing, okay, which one of these people has the least amount of risk factors. Well, our 40-year-old female patient doesn't say that she's on birth control or anything like that. So we're not sure. So first of all, they didn't have surgery or anything. They had a tear. They haven't had any intervention yet. Let's just see our other people. So our 24-year-old transgender patient on estrogen hormone replacement therapy, estrogen hormone replacement therapy is going to increase your risk. So I would say this person is definitely at risk. So that's not the right answer. 65-year-old patient who recently had a rotator cuff repair surgery. Again, anybody who just had a recent surgery, that's more at risk for developing, you know, clots and stuff like that. So, and like you have to be immobilized after surgery. This person is at risk for developing a pulmonary embolism. So that's not the answer either. 16-year-old male patient who recently was on an airplane for 12 hours straight. Again, the airplane thing, being in immobilized for an extended period of time. That's why they're always telling people, especially our tall people that can't like do heel raises and stuff in their seat. And they're like trapped in there to get up and do a couple aisle walking every hour or so just to keep the blood flowing and whatnot. As long as the turbulence isn't too bad. So that person's at risk for developing a pulmonary embolism, even though they are young and healthy. So we have a 40-year-old patient who just had a labral tear. I mean, she's probably in pain. That's why she's there. This is a slap tear, just to kind of show you that as the S stands for superior, then the L is labrum anterior to posterior. That's what SLAP stands for. So this lady's probably not feeling too good, but she's not as much of a risk for a pulmonary embolism as the other individuals on here. So understanding what are the signs and symptoms of a pulmonary embolism, who's more at risk for developing a pulmonary embolism, and then what are some things we can do to minimize the risk of people getting pulmonary embolisms. All right, guys, I hope this was helpful and I will see y'all in the next one. Take care.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the PTA Elevation Podcast. We look forward to continually serving you as you embark on your journey towards becoming a licensed physical therapist assistant. We thank you for your continued support, and we'll see you in the next episode.